Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
The Volvo Ocean Race requires sailors from all over the world to sail all over the world. Boy, that's some writing. Anyway, if the members of the families of those sailors wish to see the intrepid competitors from time to time, they'd better be prepared to travel all over the world as well. Aren't some of those family members supposed to be in school, you ask? And yes, I reply, they are. And they are in school, or sort of traveling school, for the children of the aforementioned intrepid competitors. Only a Game's Karen Given recently returned with these observations.
Wherever it goes, the Volvo Ocean Race brings along a village, almost like a carnival. There are live bands, thrill rides, and of course, plenty of marketing opportunities for the sponsors. There's also the ocean sailing version of the Hammer and Bell Carnival Challenge, except men, women, and children try to impress their loved ones by working winches, just like the ones on the boats, to clock their speed and strength at working with sails.
On your mark.
Here they go.
Get set.
Blair Indine has seen it all before. Blair calls herself a carny, a roadie, and a racer chaser, but she wouldn't choose any other life.
It is a circus, but it's a fun circus because it's a family. It's nice, and you're never alone. I say it's like camp. We sort of eat together, stay together, play together, and it's great fun, and you get to see the world.
This is the second time Blair's followed her husband, David, the pitman for Ericsson 4, around the world in the Volvo Ocean Race. Their son is a bit newer to the lifestyle.
He's 17 months, Oliver. He is a trooper. He's pretty good on the planes these days. He's been on a plane from pretty much day one, so.
Oliver's mom and dad know eventually their son will want to play sports, join a club, or attend his high school prom. But those considerations are still years away.
The school of thought is your child gets to see the world, and that in itself is such a great life experience. And then to be able to have some time to put them in with other kids and learn about where they are and what their dad's doing, it's great.
When Oliver gets a little older, he'll be attending school here in a temporary classroom behind all the attractions, just minutes from his dad on the dock. And if he has any luck at all, his teacher will be Bryony Kent.
Good morning, Alec.
Good morning, Bryony.
Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Bryony.
Bryony's full-time job is to teach the children of the sailors, media people, and shore crew of the Volvo Ocean Race. Her students range in age from 4 to 13 and come from 10 different countries. While most of them speak at least some English, phonics class can be a challenge.
What would you say, Alex, because you're from Australia? How would you say this sound?
E.
And for the F, do you remember what we did? Because we crack open the egg. So we take the egg and we go
Bryony pantomimes breaking an egg to help the children remember that S sound. For the letter T, she waves her hands back and forth while holding an imaginary tennis racket. She says associating sounds with actions is a big help when teaching a classroom full of kids who don't agree on how to say the word egg.
Especially with the children from New Zealand and Australia, the way they pronounce an E or an E is quite different to how I would. So especially with the I and the E, we often get confused when we're writing, so I have to try and put my twang on and try and get the sound across to them. And also I've had a lot of the parents coming in saying, my son's speaking with an English accent.
The younger kids follow a curriculum designed by Bryony, while the older ones bring along assignments from their schools back home. Bryony Kent is the only qualified teacher, but the Volvo school employs one tutor for every five or six students. The aim is to keep kids from falling too far behind while they're traveling around the world, but Bryony says that's never been a problem.
It's not often that you can get to the age of six and say list all the countries you've been to and actually know where they are in the world. Pretty amazing.
10-year-old Isabella enjoys long airplane flights because she gets to watch movies for hours and no one bugs her to do something more productive. The young Kiwi has only been in the U.S. for a week and a half, but she's pretty sure she can already name all 50 states. And she's even more confident when rattling off the places she's been since this race began.
Alicante, Cape Town,
India, Singapore, China, then Rio, and now we're here. I've been travelling ever since I was 5 months, so I'm pretty used to it.
4-year-old Finn is not quite so sure of all the places he's been in his young life.
I don't remember New Zealand. Here. I don't know what else other countries I've been to. I've been to Sweden.
To Sweden. And where are you now?
Africa.
With help from Bryony, Finn eventually remembers that he went to Disney World last week, and Disney World is in America, though Finn points out that America and Africa kind of sound alike. Finn's dad, Brad Jackson, is the watch captain on Ericsson 4. He says he and his wife, a former flight attendant, always meant to settle down and have kids, but somewhere along the way, they had Finn and his 2 older brothers without ever settling down.
It's a bit of a compromise, you know. They travel around, they meet lots of people, they learn different languages. But obviously they miss out on the routine and the structure that living at home has. We try and do what we can to make their life normal, and it's not always easy, and it's not going to be, but at the moment it seems to be working okay.
Jackson seems resigned to giving up this life eventually, but for now, 7 months into a nearly 9-month race, he and his family are just looking forward to a break.
You know, we've got a new house at home that, you know, we've been away for 2 years more or less, and we've never lived in this house. Kids are really looking forward to that. It backs onto their school they're going to go to, and it's got a swimming pool. But then I know we'll get home, and after a couple of months we'll be like, okay, what are we going to do now?
Puma skipper Ken Reed, his wife Kathy, and their 12-year-old daughter Tori make those decisions together. Or at least that's how they decided to put their lives in Rhode Island on hold and join the Volvo Ocean Race.
We did. We voted, and it was early on it was 2-1 against, and then it became 2-1-4, and Tori was clearly the vote that was the hardest to capture. But she came around. I think she's right. I think she's really glad she did it.
That original yes vote came not from Ken Reed, but from his wife, Kathy. She's been married to Ken for nearly 20 years now, but she hasn't yet gotten tired of circling the globe.
I love to travel, and with Tori being 12 and in sixth grade, I thought it was the perfect time for her to go and see the world. She's at the age where she's going to remember it and to experience different cultures, different foods, just everything. It's been just an amazing opportunity, you know, and it's something I hope you never forget.
I don't think anybody could forget this.
Tori might not ever forget this experience, but like young Finn, she does sometimes forget where she's at in the world.
I get confused easily. Then you start speaking Spanish in India and in South Africa, and then suddenly you have no idea where you are and start speaking a ton of different languages.
Kathy says she'll be sad when the race is over. Tori's feelings are a bit more mixed, but Ken Reed can't wait for it all to end, especially the emotional roller coaster of a race that stops and starts in 10 different ports.
There's two very, well, distinctly different emotions. When you leave, it's the worst part of the race. Leaving your family on the dock, knowing you're going off to sea, going off kind of throwing yourself in harm's way, it's a really tough time for everybody. Kids are crying, wives are crying, guys are trying not to cry in front of their peers. And it's really hard. And it happens very often. I mean, we're going to do it 10 different times. Those are 10 miserable days. But on the other hand, the best day by far is arrival day. That part is fantastic. That hug, those hugs are the best hugs. Best hugs going.
Today is the day Ken has been dreading since his boat arrived in Boston 3 weeks ago. The sailors will say goodbye to their wives and children on the dock and set sail for Galway, Ireland. If winds and currents cooperate, the families will reunite on the other side of the Atlantic in about a week. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Karen Given's story about the school attended by the children of sailors in the Volvo Ocean Race will be featured on this week's program. We'll also examine the NBA team still harboring dreams of derailing the apparently finals-bound Lakers and Cavaliers, and there may be some mention of those colossi as well when I talk with our pro basketball analyst, Kevin Hench. It being Preakness weekend, we'll have a pre-race look at the status of Pimlico, the future of which is about as uncertain as the outcome of Saturday's race. We'll have a story about how the baseball team at the University of Vermont has fallen victim to budget woes, and I'll be talking to Miles Brand, the president of the NCAA, about the challenges colleges and universities are facing as they try to balance their budgets and maintain their athletic programs. I'll be reading from your emails this week as well and reprising some music that I apparently ruined for at least one listener, so join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.